It's KUOW's The Record on Twitter at KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. The myth is if you own a Washington State marijuana shop, you can make millions. The fact is you probably won't. The reasons for that are in a new report in the Puget Sound Business Journal, and the editor-in-chief is Emily Parkhurst. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me.
You report that it's hard to be a marijuana retailer. Why is that?
You know, I think it's there's a lot of different reasons. And, you know, when you think about it, you see a lot of marijuana shops around town. I think people are assuming that there's a lot of money to be made in marijuana, and that may be true eventually, but it's not really true right now. We're seeing a lot of these marijuana retail shops and the companies that are making things like edibles really struggling to survive. And it's partially due to the enormous tax burden that's on top of these businesses, you know, and I think a lot of the folks who got into it knew that there would be a tax burden, but it's turned out to be a little bit more than I think a lot of companies were expecting.
Why? What's that tax burden like in Washington State?
Sure. Well, it's multiple taxes from multiple different angles. So if you look at, you know, just the tax for marijuana is 37% on top of the sales tax. So that's a pretty high sales tax. But then if you take into account the state already has a fairly high taxes for operating a business, like the business and occupation tax, the B&O tax that all businesses pay. And then if you also take into account that because of a federal law, these marijuana businesses are not allowed to write off any of their expenses. So a normal business would be able to write off a lot of their expenses. You know, they'd be able to write off their physical space, you know, how much they're paying to lease that space, that kind of thing, any office supplies. The marijuana companies, because of a federal law, can't write that off against their federal taxes. So there's a fairly significant tax burden for these businesses.
Why is that? Why, beyond the state sales tax, why is there a big marijuana industry tax burden?
Well,
besides,
you know,
federal government, but in Washington State.
Well, in Washington State, one of the reasons that we were able to pass this is because it's a huge revenue generation machine for the state, and the state has grown quite fond of that tax, and it's a 37% tax on all marijuana products. That's brought in about $550 million in excise taxes since it was passed. So that's a big chunk of change going to the state. And that was, you know, the bargaining chip, basically, for legalization of recreational marijuana, is that it's going to fund, you know, and a lot of that money's going toward education. And as we can see, that has paid off.
Okay, well, I want to talk about a couple other burdens on retailers and then talk about whether it's all worth it, whether the burdens are a good idea. First of all, are there too many pot shops and there needs to be a shakeout?
You know, I think if you're walking around Seattle, that might be the impression that you have. There's certainly a lot of them in Seattle. We did a list of the top 25 marijuana retailers in the state, and only two of them are in Seattle. So what that tells us is that, you know, the largest recreational marijuana shops, you know, are in cities where there are fewer recreational marijuana shops. And that makes a certain amount of sense. So I think you do see quite a bit of competition in the city of Seattle. But as soon as you leave the city, there's far fewer. And there are whole cities that have that don't allow marijuana shops at all. So the shops around those areas are doing quite well. And then we've seen things like in Vancouver, the marijuana shops down there did very well in the first couple of years, but then when Oregon legalized marijuana, their sales have plummeted.
Right. Okay. You also say there's a problem with constantly changing marijuana regulations. What do you mean? How do they change?
You know, I think most of the folks who got involved in the marijuana industry early on knew that there were going to be changes to the law as we kind of figured out as a state and as a community, you know, how we wanted to regulate this. But what has happened is that a lot of these changes, they're implemented incredibly quickly. So that means that these businesses have, you know, a lot of cases only 60 days to comply with major changes to the law. The example I'll give is, you know, the state made some changes to the way that edible marijuana products need to be labeled. Well, those packages that edible marijuana comes in, they're they're supposed to be child safe, and so they're very difficult to open, and they're also very expensive to produce. The state didn't give the marijuana shops much time to comply with that, and some of the folks who were making edibles had to throw away tens of thousands of dollars worth of very expensive packaging and start over again. And when you're talking about a business that's already operating really close to the margin, that can be enough to push them over the brink.
Okay, so it can be hard to sell marijuana compared to selling books and shoes and glassy babies. But, Emily, this is a federally illegal, mind-altering substance with dimly understood health effects. Are you sure that a little burden isn't a good thing?
You know, I think that there's a lot to be said for that, Bill. You know, there's a reason that it's going to be heavily regulated. I think the thing that Washington State needs to balance, though, is this understanding that a lot of other states are now legalizing recreational marijuana, and it's only a matter of time before it's federally legal, we believe. And so if the state wants to be the place where, you know, some of these big brands grow up and become, you know, major employers for this area, then we need to look at our competition. And our competition is going to be states like Massachusetts, like Oregon, where, you know, folks can maybe get a business off the ground a little bit easier, get itself established in these early days, and then turn into a billion-dollar business down the road when it's legalized. And we want to be the place where that happens, because that means jobs, that means, you know, a lot more tax revenue for Washington State, and Washington State could use that.
Just a minute left or so then, Emily. As you said, at least in Seattle, there are plenty of pot shops, less so in other places, but you've described some of the difficulties that the state is putting in the way of would-be marijuana sellers. Do you think there's going to be a shakeout? Are we in a marijuana bubble?
In a marijuana bubble. I don't know about a bubble. I do think that we are going to see some marijuana shops and some marijuana, maybe not the growers, but particularly the edibles businesses, things like that, go away in the next couple of years. This is a really tough business right now. There are a lot of people who are really interested in being part of it. They're excited about legalization. They want to be part of this new industry. And the folks that survive are going to do very well. But this is going to, I think, be a rough couple of years. And the growth that we've seen was 200% revenue growth the first year. It's now down to about 69% growth. We're going to continue to see that growth slow. And as it continues to slow, we're going to see some businesses go away.
Emily Parkhurst, editor-in-chief at the Puget Sound Business Journal. The piece in the journal describes the barriers, the struggles to make it in the marijuana industry here in the early days in Washington. We're tweeting out a link to that right now at KUOW. Emily, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
KUOW FM Seattle, KUOW Tumwater, KQOW Bellingham, and Digital HD Services. Thanks for tuning in.